What should you actually be thinking of? I guess that because I'm going to be doing it pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, in some ways it's just the same as others, service, and others ways different. But you think I have been sent to do this by my spiritual master, which means that Krishna has personally asked me to do this. Just like Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was to be fixed up in that consciousness that Krishna wants me to fight, so I'm going to fight. Sometimes devotees, when they hear how we must perform Sankirtan out of compassion for the living beings, how they're suffering, they say, but I don't have such realization that they're at the super soul and the soul is in their heart, and I don't feel such realization. So then that basic attitude that my spiritual master has come and saved me from material life, and is a desire of Krishna through him that I act to help the other living beings. So it's a stickier determination at that point. In other words, even if I don't realize, I know. Then as you do it, then you get realization also. Then in a practical way, you just think, so this is my service to distribute these books, to get these conditioned souls to give some Lakshmi. So I'm an instrument. So I have to do it. I want to do well today. I don't want to become weak or be defeated. So you just go in a prayerful attitude that you'll be determined and get as many people as possible to take books and to give donations. And you have to be detached, of course. You just think that I have to give this life to Krishna to get rid of burn up all my sinful desires and sinful past activities. It's not a very difficult thing he's asking me to do. Let me just spend my youthful energy and my body, mind and words. Let me just give it to Krishna in this way, this austerity which he considers so glorious. I'm not glorious, but this austerity is glorious, this Sankirtan. So let me give it to Krishna. And as in any other service, you say you're just beginning. So everything depends on association. So as you find yourself not having a proper realization, or struggling, and you inquire from more experienced God brothers, here is a sankirtan? No, it's variety. Everyone here has been initiated, though.
To maintain, should you consult your god brothers or start praying or reading or all of them?
Well, whatever you can do.
It's like whatever makes you Krishna conscious, that's what you should do, as long as it's bona fide.
Yeah. Well, we have to, whatever our life is prescribed duties, so yeah, but we'll find strength in those things. So just do them. It's not that we so much change our activities. There should be hearing, there should be reading, there should be consulting with God brothers. If I'm maintaining, then maybe I'm not doing those things with the right attitude. Then really do them. We're already associating with our God brothers. But if I'm not, as you say, maintaining, then I think, well, look, I'd better actually take this relationship seriously and actually speak my mind to some God brothers or my spiritual master. Not just take these relationships for granted. But then you reveal your mind and get some actual help like that. Or since you have to attend the classes anyway, don't just take it like that, I have to attend. And say, there's some connection between my spiritual progress and hearing this Bhagavatam class. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been given to us, this whole institution by Srila Prabhupada, to always listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it must be full of potency. And right now I'm not full of potency, so let me try to actually see the connection between my spiritual life and hearing about these personality of Godhead or the pure devotees that lived thousands of years ago. It has some connection with me here today. Otherwise, why are we going through this? Is it just a ritual? Or your own reading also? If you're having trouble, so why all these books were produced? It's for me. That's the way that we, from time to time, we wake up and revive our, intensify our devotional service by actually doing the things that are being done anyway, but realize that they, the fresh taste of them, that's new life. There's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in which he appreciates all the activities of devotional service. And he was very experienced, he wasn't just a new person. But his taste is so fresh. He says in that song that whenever I hear a madranga being played, my heart jumps in ecstasy to hear it. And when I hear the authorized songs of the Vaishnavas, it's very thrilling to me. And then he said, in my home, he was a householder, when I make an offering to the Lord, that the whole place becomes, before my eyes, transformed into Krishna Loka. I can see everywhere Krishna's activities. And when I take the Charanamrita from the deity, so we do that every day. Put out your palm, take a little Charanamrita. But it's the consciousness. He said, when I do that, I take it that this is actually coming from the lotus feet of Vishnu. So what is Charanamrita? It's the water that was bathed, the deity was bathed in, mixed with some sweet flavor. And he said, and whenever I take prasadam, for me it is a new life's experience. It's like, now life is beginning, new. Not just that it's time to eat. Or taking remnants of the Lord's prasadam. So like this. Well, you say trouble maintaining, but the things that we're doing, they're sufficient to maintain somebody in transcendental consciousness. So you just have to do them with a fresh, open spirit. That's what it means to get into a rut or to not be able to maintain. These practices are sufficient to overcome the restless mind and the lusty desires. They've been given in the cyclic succession. They're all exactly formulated by Lord Chaitanya's followers, Rupa and Sanatan. How you put on tilak, how you do everything. It was all passed down. It's just meant to soothe the burning heart. Chaita Darpana Marjanam, Baba Mahat, Devagran, Devarpanam. Sankirtan, chanting, is meant to clean the mind and clean the heart of desires from many births. Put out the fire of material desire. That's actually a secret. It's to actually do all these things sincerely. Just like you, when you see a god brother, you make obeisances. But if you just, you're just doing it, you're forgetful. What does it mean? That's quite an act. Just like with the karmis when they see us. Sometimes in an airport. You say, is he all right? That person, is he all right? What happened? Somebody's lying on the ground. It's an extraordinary act. Yes, it's all right. It's our custom when we greet each other. Oh, all right. But what is that we do, that we're so committed to it that sometimes we even do it and people don't know what in the world we're doing? But do you know what it is? Maybe we say like that to a karmi, well, this is our custom. We offer greetings in this way. It's not just a custom. I'm my godbrother, I call him Prabhu, and I desire to be his servant, because he's a servant of Krishna. And I think myself worthy to be his servant only. So I call him master, and I want to serve. But who has that actual consciousness? Or when we bow to our spiritual master, I offer my obeisances to my spiritual master, who's very dear to Krishna on this earth. This is feelings. And when we chant Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya recommends Janata Peace and Ichena, Sarara Peace, Ahishna, Amani, Namani, Dina, Kirtanaya, Sadahari. You should chant thinking yourself lower than a straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. This is how you should chant. So if something's wrong, it's that I'm doing these regular things in some kind of unconscious state, offensive state, half-hearted state, weak-hearted state. You don't have to do something new. I have to go to a new place or take a vacation. You just keep doing these same things. Take prasadam, chant. Do service. Associate with God brothers. Think of the spiritual master in Krishna. Then if you do it, then nobody would say, I'm having a lot of trouble. I can't control my senses. Or what should you do when you can't control your mind and your senses? We wouldn't be asking these questions. Then it's nice when we see our God brothers, we see someone who's like that, who's enthusiastically dancing, or someone says something, taking prasadam, to appreciate that this is the Lord's remnants, then if we're not envious, if we're open, then we'll say, yes, this is nice. He's helping me remember. It's natural that we forget. We don't have to keep remembering. Yes, this is no ordinary thing I'm doing. This is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to say, be careful, you are dealing with Krishna. And then just the opposite, when you start picking up some bad habits, then the attitude towards all these things becomes poor. And then as a result is you don't feel this strength. One bad habit leads to another. Starting with the tongue. Talking loosely. Then you go before the deity. You're half conscious. Then you're half unconscious during the class. Not respectful of God brothers. Forgetful of the orders. Spiritual master. Then before you know it, then bad things start happening. So it said that the path of devotional service is like the razor's edge. A little off, and you cut.
In the Bhagavad Gita that one should give up his nature and mentally renounce all activities. What does it mean to give up our nature?
I don't know exactly what that means. Is that a verse?
Yes.
What's the Sanskrit word?
I can't remember.
What verse is it? Give up one's nature?
I think it's in the fifth chapter.
Everyone asks according to his nature, what can confession accomplish?
No.
I don't know. Give up nature. Give up your material idea, your material nature. Hartford?
Yeah.
After the holidays? After Janmashtami?
Yeah, they're supposed to train me up to be a band leader. Rossi Archer just passed by, like that was.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
Like, that's one of the biggest holidays of the year for us.
Yeah.
Also, Janmashtami and Vyas Puja is coming up. Like, all these holidays there to, like, intensify our consciousness, so we have to think of Krishna more, our spiritual master.
Yeah. They're also for intensify the consciousness of the people in general. It's our service. Ratha Yatra intensifies the devotee's consciousness. But the main purpose is to put on a big festival for thousands of people, to give them a chance. We have a festival every day that we see Krishna. We see Lord Jagannath every day. So his real significance is to give everyone else a chance. It was a good success.
Came up very good.
What?
Came up very good.
Yeah.
The only time of the year you could see a pleasant looking face of a Swami.
In New York City.
Yeah, they were poking their head through the windows, looking, blowing faces.
Wow.
But past the next day, you don't see them like that.
At least they get one day. I was in Los Angeles. That was a grand festival. Also. Now there's some more too. Montreal, Boston.
Boston for the first time.
Mm.
Swami who helps you edit back to Godhead, I can't remember his name.
Jayadvaita.
He was out here a while ago at a big conference for magazine editors, and he was saying that he had big plans to expand back to Godhead. I was wondering if you could give us any hint as to how he's going to increase the circulation and expand the magazine.
Well, the main thing is society is going to take up a subscriptions program that devotees on Sankirtan, especially in places where they can't distribute books, when they get a donation of $5, they can give somebody a card, which is a year's subscription to Back to Godhead, and they'll get and the temple will get points. I forget how many points, and for the Sankirtan competition. So in this way, we're going to increase the subscriptions. Most magazines, they have big subscriptions lists. We only have a couple of thousand, although we distribute 400,000 magazines a month. Subscription goes every month to the person, help them develop Krishna consciousness. Well, that's the main program that's going to be started pretty soon. All the book distributors will get these cards. When they go out, whenever they find a person like that, they'll give them who gives a donation, they'll give them a card, and he just has to send it in and get a year's subscription. Anything that we criticize about material life, this city epitomizes it the most, because it's the biggest city in the world, biggest Maya. So the main fault with everything going on in the city is that it's not done for self-realization. So it makes it just a big, tremendous hoax. Someplace else is a smaller hoax, but this is the biggest hoax. That is, that everything is made just to try to make the body comfortable. But at the same time, they give up self-realization and they don't even make themselves happy materially. They don't do anything for self-realization, all the big skyscrapers and everything. It's just done for pleasing the body. So you won't be too hot or you won't be too cold. You'll be able to get sex pleasure. You won't be hungry, this and that. Have enough money, have enough clothes, enough entertainment, mental speculation. Everything is trying to be adjusted and adjusted so that the person is not uncomfortable and in anxiety. But the result is everyone is still in anxiety after all the effort. Even materially, just for material life, if everything was much simpler, it would be easier. There's a story that some Brahmin, he was traveling and he became hungry. So the only people around where he was were Muslims. So Brahmin is not supposed to take food with a Muslim. But he went anyway out of his hunger to some man's house. So the man was hospitable. He said, "Yes, certainly I can give you a meal." And he provided what he could. And the Brahmin ate. But it wasn't very much because the man was poor. He said, "Please, give me some more. I'm hungry." He said, "I'm sorry, sir. This is all we have." "That's all?" So he was still not satisfied. He said, "I've lost my caste, but still I am hungry." So for going to eat with that man, Muslim, he had lost his position as a Brahmin because they are so strict. And yet he wasn't even materially satisfied. So it's like that. Prabhupada, one time he was in New Vrindavan, he said, he was discussing about material civilization. He said, "The things that they have there, say electricity, we're not against it. Our philosophy is not to be against electricity. But," he said, "if in order to obtain it, your price is that you give up self-realization, then we don't want it." And that's the price they pay. So we're preaching here. We're using all these things too, and at the Hare Krishna Center, in order to preach in this mad place. But if our propaganda is completely carried out, then people wouldn't even live like this. They'd live simply. So devotees, say especially devotees in this city, sometimes they feel the weight of having to preach in this city. They feel they're getting contaminated by the modes of nature, so heavy. So it requires being very dedicated. Krishna is very pleased. It's like preaching in hell. It's not that the devotee doesn't like to live in a place like this. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said, "Yes, the devotee should live in this, where the most people are, not in a secluded place, and try to preach to people." So that means, it's all right? You have to be completely sustained by devotional service. Otherwise, if you take shelter in this city, then you'll be crushed. Because nobody can enjoy this city, especially a devotee, if he's thinking, "Well, I'll try to enjoy this place I'm living in." It's impossible. He has to take shelter in his service. I think especially here, everything depends on a preaching spirit, because just like I've been to Hawaii recently and Los Angeles, and those places are very mild weather, especially Hawaii. And of course there's Maya there. It's a different kind of Maya. People think that everything is just nice and they're enjoying. And there's a Maya for the devotees to fall into also. But here, without the preaching spirit, the preaching spirit is so demanding that you see how degraded everything is. So even in the beginning one thinks, "I have to help these people. Just look at what they're doing. Everything is more stripped away here, that it is suffering." And yet the Maya is so great that the people, they think it's all right. Or they think the only thing wrong is a lack of certain material facilities.
I'm thinking about that for the past 500 years or 300 years. Well, if I get this,
yeah,
this will be better. And when they get this, they go on to something else.